It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Neil Charnoff. In just a few minutes, we'll get some entertainment options from this week's Art Hounds. But first, it's our weekly conversation on the arts. Memoirs are everywhere. It seems natural that we've always been drawn to reading about other people's lives. But where does this appeal come from, and why does it seem that the popularity of memoirs has exploded in recent years? Here to address those questions is Dartmouth College professor Irene Kakandis, who will be discussing the appeal of the memoir in a lecture in Rutland next Wednesday. Professor Kakandis, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Your lecture is called The Memoir Boom. Do you think there's actually been a boom in memoir writing, or is this more of a perception?
Well, there have been various memoir booms over the history of the genre. One of the most interesting ones actually in the 18th century, when a lot of courtesans and pimps were being rounded up in France, and to pay their legal bills, they actually published the stories of their lives, which sold quite well. The memoir boom we're currently in is usually dated by experts back to about the 1990s, when we had quite a few books that came out by sort of nobodies who then became somebody's because the books were so widely read. So you might think of Suzanne Kazin's Girl Interrupted from 1993 or Frank McCourt's Angela's Ashes. That was 1998. Of course, there's what might be the best-selling memoir of all time, Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. That came out in 97. I think another development that's really important is fooling around with the actual medium for telling life stories. A local example who's really quite well known internationally now is Alison Bechdel, who lives in Burlington. So she published her story about her own childhood growing up with a closeted father called Fun Home in 2007. But there were also international examples of this graphic memoir, as it's referred to, like Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi about growing up in Iran. That comes translated into English in 2004.
Now, you mentioned there a couple of what might be called valid memoirs, but there are those who disparage a lot of memoir writing, with critics saying, you know, you really need to live a life before writing about it. How valid is that criticism?
Well, I think it should be taken seriously. Some very smart people have complained about memoir. You might know the crime writer Linda LaPlante. She was at a conference with publishers, and she said, stop spending your millions on this tripe. Or Neil Geslinger, who writes for the New York Times, and he wrote an amazing memoir where he took the word memoir and he crossed out the last four letters so that all that was left was me. And he pleads there for the lost art of shutting up. Right. So I think there is a way in which some people feel like ordinary bumblers, as I put it, have too much of an opportunity to tell their life story. But I'm not sure I really agree with that line of thinking, in the sense that if you don't like the prose that you're reading, just stop reading. No one's forcing you to continue reading. So I feel like if someone wants to tell their story, they may be getting something out of the act of narrating about their life. But I also feel strongly that not only might the individual writer get something out of it, but if a single other reader finds it valuable, then who are we to decide it shouldn't be out there?
You know, autobiographical storytelling has also exploded in the past few years. You see moth-style events popping up everywhere. Do you see a connection between the growth of the memoir and the popularity of this storytelling?
I'm so glad you asked about that, because I'm a huge fan of those radio shows. And of course, oral storytelling has been around for a long, long time, and the radio has been a wonderful medium for oral storytellers. But those little festive occasions of bringing people together in kind of almost a nightclub setting and listening to really good storytellers talking about themselves has exploded recently. And even in my professional circles, we've been talking about that and trying to come up with some answers. I think it has to do with our love as human beings of really good stories. And anyone who can tell a really good story, if I have access to it, I'm going to tune in, so to speak. So I do think the phenomena are connected. The one that is the largest probably in terms of numbers of people involved is definitely individual storytelling in venues like Facebook.
Well, social media and blogs.
Huge explosion of blogs, huge use of Facebook to just put out really, really ordinary facts of life. And I think there we do have a certain kind of exhibitionism, this kind of effort that we love stars in this country. We don't have theoretically an aristocracy, but we do. We have it in a different form, and it comes mainly in sports and mainly in movies and TV. And I think people have been very, very eager to find some little arena in which they can be a celebrity. So if it means writing a blog and, hey, 200 people are reading my blog, so I'm a celebrity for those 200 people, or if it's my Facebook post and, you know, 300 friends give me a thumbs up, well, that's my little egotistical thrill. And while I think it's a little bit sad that people don't seek that kind of contact face-to-face, again, I also feel I have to exercise my own right not to read or listen, and also not to judge those who want to.
Irene Kekandas is a professor of German studies and comparative literature at Dartmouth College. She'll be delivering her talk on the memoir boom at the Rutland Free Library Wednesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. You'll find more information at bpr.net. Professor Kekandas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Neil.